Welcome to another brand new episode of Backlog Barbecue. This is a little bit late because we're kind of trying to adjust a bunch of things, mainly because, you know, there's some games that are coming out and, you know, schedule's changing. But, of course, I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined by both Ted and Ari.
Hello. How's it going, Alex?
Good. That was actually really nice when we got to meet in the middle of the week, like just out of random.
Yeah, why the hell not? I wish I've actually had time to play the game that you've lent me, but alas.
Yeah. Oh, look, Destiny beta.
Oh, look, Magic 2015.
Yeah, oops. So
you, Jesus, they made another one. It's like they make them every year.
They do.
I know, that was...
Well, how long have they been making it?
I think the first one was 2011.
I thought it was 20... Oh, no. Yeah,
2012 was the first one to be named by its year, but 2011 was the first one.
So it's like Madden.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. But they kind of changed it up this year. I guess we're going right into what I've been playing. I've been playing Magic 2015.
Yes.
And they changed it up. I mean, Duels of the Planeswalker has always been a series of games where you have a pre-constructed deck.
Yes.
And as you play it, you unlock more cards for that specific deck only. Mm-hmm. So the biggest complaint people had over the years of every single year, the same complaint. Let us build our own decks. Let us build our own decks. That's all everybody ever said about that game.
Yeah.
So this year they let us build our own decks. And guess what?
None?
No, I mean, you can build your own decks. But the problem is that Duels of the Planeswalker has lost its identity. Like, what made Duels what it was the fact that you were battling these pre-constructed decks and making the best out of the sideboards that you could unlock as you played them. Mm-hmm. And there was actually this whole make the best out of this specific set of cards kind of, I don't know, metagame or something like that. Huh. But it was, like, interesting. It was fun to unlock all the cards. It was fun to make the best out of those pre-constructed decks and to see how the exact same pre-constructed deck or the exact same set of 90 cards could turn into two completely different decks depending on how you build it. You know, there was a game there. There was an interesting game there. Mm-hmm. And now, because you're just building your own decks and you're unlocking booster packs instead of other decks, it's just kind of doesn't feel like Duels of the Planeswalkers anymore. I mean, I guess that's the point. But at the same time, I feel like something was lost. Mm-hmm. So, like, I've basically, towards the beginning of the game, you unlock your first deck.
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to be based on one of the guilds, which means it's going to be a two-color deck.
Yeah.
And from there, you just start unlocking booster packs. Every time you win a match, you win a booster.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got through most of the campaign. I've yet to unlock any of the other starter decks. I've just got that original set of cards that I had and whatever I've gotten in the booster packs. So I don't even have enough cards yet to, like, put together a deck of another color because I'm, you know, I still need more booster packs to do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure when or if I'm going to be unlocking the other starter sets, so... It's kind of weird. I mean, obviously, there's a store, and you can go buy packs for real money if you really want to. But at the same time, you could always just play a game and win to unlock more cards. So far, it's been pretty good in terms of the not trying to send you to the store every 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm still a little disappointed about the lack of pre-constructed decks, which has been what was the whole point of Duels. So there you have it. That's Duels. Aside from that, same game it's been for the last 4 or 5 years, really.
Sorry, I'm like choking on a hairball or something.
Ooh, okay.
No. Damn, right. Anyways, the question I wanted to ask, not cutting that, is how does it then compare to an age where Hearthstone exists? I mean, I know that it's two different things, but they're kind of the same genre, and they're both competitive card games.
No, I think that's a relevant point. Hearthstone is a game changer for the genre, especially in terms of video game versions of collectible card games or trading card games. Hearthstone has created this kind of, I don't know, it's kind of how it's paced. Like, the pacing of the game is so fast, and when you're playing Magic, there's that 2 to 3 second countdown timer in between everything.
Mm-hmm.
That gives the other player the opportunity to pause the timer so they can cast an interrupt or an instant. Boy, I've been playing Magic a long time to still call it interrupts. But anyway, because of that mechanic of Magic, which flows much better in the real card game, In the digital card game, it creates this weird pace where everything just feels a little bit slow. And by contrast, with Hearthstone, it's like you want your character to your minion to attack another minion. You click and drag the mouse. It happens. It's done. The whole entire thing takes a second for that entire interaction. Mm-hmm. And then, like, by contrast with Magic, it's like, all right, I'm loading up. Or I'm going into battle mode. Okay, I'm sending them to attack. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a little countdown timer for special effect or activated abilities and instance. Mm-hmm. Then okay, now we're selecting defenders. Okay, now we're waiting again for more instance. Okay, now we're actually about to deal damage. Great. Now we're back in the main phase. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's just how Magic the Gathering is, but it just still plays so much better as a physical card game than it does as a video game. And as much as they've streamlined Duels of the Planeswalkers over the years, you know, it still is what it is.
Hmm.
So, and Hearthstone really reveals the flaws in digital versions of Magic the Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's also a free-to-play game, and it shows, you know, it's a great example of free-to-play done right. And here you have a game that costs $10 just to get in.
Wow.
And even once you're in, they're starting to, you know, charge you more packs.
Yeah.
So, you know, but to be fair, they do let you unlock cards very, very quickly by getting booster packs from winning matches. Mm-hmm. So I'm not complaining in that regard.
Okay. So, I mean, you're seemed kind of mixed in general as far as this game goes. I mean, last year I remember your review, and, you know, we were talking about, I guess, the, what is it? Like the packs that you buy? Like,
No. Last year the big issue was the sealed mode.
Yeah, they added this
mode where you could basically get a bunch of booster packs, build a deck out of the booster packs, and try to get as far as you can with that deck. But the problem was, once you got to the end of the campaign,
mm-hmm.
the deck became locked, and you weren't able to delete it and start over.
Yeah.
If you want to play that mode again, you had to pay for another slot.
Oh, wow.
Just totally backwards. It completely... it was absolutely terrible, to be honest. It prevented me, personally, from enjoying that entire mode of the game. And that was the mode of the game I had been most looking forward to.
Mm.
So, they definitely screwed that one up.
Yeah.
I mean, Hearthstone also charges, $2 to go into their sealed tournament,
mm-hmm.
but you could always pay 150 gold instead and not feel bad about it, and you get packs for doing it.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's this like permanent reward for participating in the Hearthstone arena.
Yeah.
Whereas the Magic 2014 sealed mode was just absolute garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, I haven't gotten much done outside of the campaign yet in terms of Magic 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to spend more time with it, but I will have a review on the site hopefully pretty soon.
Okay. All right. And then you said that you kind of dabbled a little bit in Sleeping Dogs?
Oh, not this week, no. Are you talking about Infamous Second Son?
No, Sleeping Dogs. We talked about it, right?
Oh, we did, but that was months ago that I dabbled.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's not really fresh. That was a cool game from what I've played. I just decided to go into Saints Row 4 instead.
Okay.
I still need to get back to Sleeping Dogs.
All right. So, anything else you've been playing?
Yeah. Well, obviously Hearthstone.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the expansion content is launching on July 22nd.
See, I told you it's July.
Yeah. Very happy about that. Looking forward to giving it a try. Still debating how I'm going to acquire it, but I'm definitely going to get into that mm-hmm. As soon as possible.
Yeah.
Another game I've been playing, which is kind of strange, but my friend sent me Little King's Story for my birthday.
Oh, dear.
That old Wii game. And, you know, it's been one of those games that I've wanted for a very long time, and I just never got around to playing it. And it's kind of a cute game. I could see why it was popular.
I remember back when I was still at UCSB, and I had my little video game site that I somehow managed to get into media. I got into a meeting with Xseed mm-hmm. when they were promoting that game. And my ex at the time and me were like staring at each other and were like, what the fuck is this game?
Yeah.
It's like nuts.
I'm still basically under that same spell. I've only played a little bit of it, just a few hours, and I guess I just fought the first boss, you mm-hmm. can call it that. It was pretty easy.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of like Pikmin, the way the game plays.
That's how it was pitched to us, if I remember correctly. Like, it was like kind of like Pikmin, but a little bit more strategy involved.
Yeah.
You know? So,
but at the same time, it's like this development of a kingdom thing.
Yeah.
So I beat the first boss, and apparently the storyline is progressing, and now we're trying to achieve world domination.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it goes in that direction.
Yes.
So that's the last thing I've done, because all these other games all of a sudden appeared, and now I have to play those first. But I'm hoping to get back to Little King's Story at some point, because it's a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
I also started Persona 4 Arena, finally.
Mm-hmm.
I played through Yu's section of the campaign, which I guess is 8% of the entire campaign. But
how long did that take you?
Hours. Probably 2 or 3 hours for that.
And how many battles?
Six, I think. Something like that.
Longest fighting game, like, playthrough ever.
You know, from my perspective, though, I'm coming from, you know, watching the anime and playing the RPGs, and I'm not much of a fighting game player lately. And, you know, in the context of story mode, I have so little time to spend learning the battle engine, because the fights that pop up once every 20 minutes or so are only one round anyway.
Yep.
So, I haven't really learned enough about the game to be able to enjoy the fighting yet.
And that's exactly why I didn't enjoy that story mode, because I'm like, at least Mortal Kombat gave you 2 rounds. This one, it's like, oh, 1 round's over. I'm like, how the hell am I going to learn a character? Oh, that's right. I have to go to the lab and actually practice.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's clear that you should definitely practice a lot before jumping into the campaign. But at the same time, I'm not really interested in the game as much as I am in the storyline. So I'm actually enjoying the parts of the game you didn't enjoy, which is reading through all that crap. That's the part I'm liking about it.
Yeah, I just Wikipedia'd all that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm enjoying it.
Cool.
For that, just not for the actual game yet. We'll see where that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and aside from that, the only other game I've been playing is Go. I got a new Go board. I got new stones.
Nice.
And I bought a couple of apps to help me study.
Cool.
So, yes, Go is still the best board game ever.
Exciting.
And I will repeat that until I die.
All right. So, I've been kind of saving this section because I want to talk to Ted about Evo. Because, yeah, that actually happened this past weekend. And if Ted is actually here.
Oh, I'm here. I'm just scratching my elbows.
Was everybody playing Persona 4 Arena?
Oh, no, they're playing Persona 4 Arena Ultimax.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Is that even out yet?
No, but they've already announced yet another character for it.
Today?
No, last week.
Which was, come on.
Marie.
Ah. Downloadable, though, like post, you know.
Yeah, it's post-release. It's not even out in Japan yet.
Oh, wow.
They also announced, right after Evo, 2 more characters for Blaze Blue, so that's happening.
Yeah, wow. Arc System Works is pretty busy.
Yeah, they're also helping with another game that was playable at Evo, Undernight Inbirth.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they're helping out with that.
What is that?
It is the game by, what is it, Type Moon?
No idea.
They make Melty Blood?
Oh, okay. I thought they go by a different name.
I don't know. Whoever the hell makes Melty Blood, they've been making Undernight Inbirth, and Arc Systems was helping with that, and that's going to be coming out in America in 2015, published by Axis.
Oh, wow. Axis has been pretty good with that.
And that was a really long line at Evo to play that one. That line was almost as long as Guilty Gear.
Were you able to try it?
No.
Hmm. You should have been like, hey, by the way, Gamer Horizon bitches. Fucking.
I actually said hi. I said hi, but, you know, I wasn't there as press.
Were they, was the press person actually there?
Same guy.
Oh, you should have been like, hey, by the way, what's up?
I did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did it work?
No, I wasn't trying.
Damn it,
dude! I'm there to fight. You know what I'm saying? But I did get to sit down with Arcana Heart 3 Love Max,
okay,
which is also coming out. That's for PS3 and Vita. Not too many changes from the existing Arcana Heart 3, but it's getting a physical release.
Nice.
And Vita, so good for the kids.
That's good.
Got a lot of information about Skullgirls coming to PS4 and Vita.
Anything new about that? That's notable.
The file size on Vita should be around 1 gigabyte.
Wow. Well,
the loading time will be comparable to the PS4 version.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't figured out control schemes for the Vita yet, and I actually provided a suggestion they will probably end up using.
Nice. They should give you credits.
I'm already in the credits.
Okay.
The game should be coming out by the end of 2014. It will include all DLC.
Okay.
How
far are they in the DLC when that
Eliza is almost done? She should be released next month. I got to play her. She has maybe 50% of her art colored, and a couple days before that, it was only at like 10%.
Mm-hmm.
She's completely playable. She has all her moves at this point. It'll be tweaked, but she's got everything in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She's a very interesting character. She has many slow, powerful attacks. Her crouching hard kick is a slide that goes basically all the way across the screen.
Wow.
She's got a lot of fun stuff.
Hmm. Well, you also checked out, I guess, like, you also sat into, like, the Mortal Kombat stuff?
I wasn't. I was actually at the Mad Catz booth working on something. I was getting my stick modded, and someone comes up, shouts, "It's Raiden! It's Raiden!" Oh. And then I turn and I look at the stream, and there's Raiden.
Yeah?
That was it. They showed Raiden. They showed basically his three different variants. One is teleport heavy, one is projectile heavy, and one is like combo ender heavy.
Wow. Combo ender heavy.
Like, they haven't really figured that one out, quite frankly.
Oh, okay.
And his fatality was cool. He electrocutes you so hard, your eyes pop out, and then your head flies off, and then he electrocutes you even harder, and the head explodes.
Nice. That's almost like a Pez dispenser kind of thing.
The Mortal Kombat was not playable in any way, shape, or form on the floor, but, you know, Raiden was officially announced at EVO. And there was even a program that was distributed this year to all the EVO people that said, "We're excited to exclusively announce the new character at EVO this year." It's like, all right, cool.
Hmm. And it's Raiden.
It's Raiden. What else was announced? There is a patch coming out for Ultra Street Fighter 4 with a few new features.
I think you mentioned like something along the lines of mode select for online.
Edition select is officially coming online. That's the big one.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is that training mode is getting a buff and will allow you to do delayed stand up on your training dummy, which is going to be a big deal for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm, okay. What's the likelihood do you think that, you know, EVO will actually use that, you know, addition select and all that stuff, like, for a future tournament? Because I know that that's, like, that was just kind of like, hey, you know, like, this would be kind of cool to kind of have. But, you know, as the next few years kind of come around, it's like, well, there's no new Street Fighter patch that's coming.
So you're asking me what the likelihood is?
Yeah.
0%.
They've already said, like, they're never going to consider it.
They don't even have to say it.
Okay. Why would that be? I mean, I guess to elaborate to people.
Vanilla Sagat. Do we really want to play with Vanilla Sagat again? I don't think anybody does.
Hmm. Is he, like, too OP or something? Or I've never really looked at any of the patch notes of any Street Fighter prior to Arcade Edition, so this is alien to me.
Hmm. It's just a level. You got to see some of the videos. There was actually the first time Edition Select was announced was at SoCal Regionals this past year, which actually took a lot of people by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone knew that the announcement wasn't going to be the fifth character that was being saved for a different event. So, like, what kind of announcement was it? And so when they announced Edition Select, people basically lost their damn minds, and they immediately had an invitational eight-person invitational tournament, mm-hmm. like, on the spot, which basically was everybody that didn't know.
Oh.
So Mike Ross sits down. He's like, who is he going to play? He's going to play original Super Honda.
Mm-hmm.
And beats the other guy so bad, it was amazing.
Wow.
So it's because that these characters, it's not meant to be balanced at all. It's a fun mode.
Mm-hmm.
But no sane person would ever suggest that we would use Edition Select for an official tournament. Now, unofficial side tournament where you have to play with DDR pads with a shot glass in your hand? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll do that. But, you know, didn't happen.
Nice.
So EVO... this year was at the LVH, which I hope we don't go back.
Really?
It sucked. Big floppy donkey dick.
In what manner? Like,
we went to the steakhouse that said it closed at 10:30, but they said, oh, we changed our hours. We close at 10 now. It's like, but you don't have it changed on any of the printing materials. It doesn't matter. I say we close at 10.
Wow. That's nuts.
So I got $70 of room service out of that one.
Ouch.
Shout outs to... my fiance Rachel for nailing that one down.
Mm-hmm. Where did you guys stay at?
We stayed in the hotel.
Oh, okay.
Rooms are okay.
Yeah,
it was okay.
How much is it?
It was on average $80 a night.
Oh, I guess that's not bad. I've never actually heard of the LVH. Is it on the Strip?
No.
Ah.
Okay. And it's also not called the LVH anymore. As of the first of this month, it's the Westgate Resort Las Vegas Hotel
Casino. Okay, all right. Yeah, because I was confused, because we were doing... Yeah, we'll talk about this later, but I was, like, looking at hotels, and I was like, oh, where is the LVH? And, you know, like, that. I guess that explains everything.
So they had a lot of nice little parts there. Mad Cats had a very big booth, and they streamed Persona 4 on that. Ari, so you're playing Persona 4.
Yeah,
kind of.
I hear you're mashing on the A button.
Pretty much.
Well, you know, that's what it's for. It lets you automatically do combos. And basically, a lot of people in the early days of online, that's what they did, because guess what? It wasn't bad. It's still not bad. There's a lot of better options you can do, because people, like, took that game and took it to extreme levels. But yeah, you know, you can really get stuff done. Are you playing on PS3 or Xbox?
I'm playing on PS3.
You want to get fucking rolled later?
I guess.
All right.
I can mash and hope not to, actually, not to die and not I haven't really know
played,
what I'm
doing. I literally haven't touched that game in over 12 months.
Cool.
And we're not going to play it for 2 weeks, because I guess we're playing Destiny.
Yeah.
But, and actually, Persona 4 AU comes out in, like, September, so I mean...
Wow.
You know. Oh, and by the way, just so you know, Ari, P4 AU contains another new story that's about the length of Persona 4 Arena, so yep. Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, yeah, you gotta replay the whole thing again.
No, it's a whole new story. Yeah. It takes place after P4A.
No, yeah, that's what I meant. It's like,
that's why you're not bothered. It's not the same story. It's a new story with new characters.
Yeah.
Cool.
One that I'm just gonna wiki.
What, Sho Minazuki? He's the new original character, just like Labrys was original for Arena.
Yeah, that's nice. And, you know, and I'm pretty sure, like, I don't know, I'm still pretty iffy whether or not I'm gonna get, like, Dancing All Night for, like, the Vita when it comes out.
I'm pre-ordered.
Yeah?
That's not even a question. It's made by the same people who did the Hatsune Miku rhythm game. It's like, wait, a rhythm game to, like, the Persona tunes? Yep. Take my money.
Is it, like, it's a full price game, right?
Yep, $39.99.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. I'll probably hit up our Atlas guy or something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, overall, your impressions of, like, you know, EVO as a whole, obviously you didn't like LVH. I mean, I saw the production values. I saw all the screenshots.
Oh, my God, that screen was that big screen had to be 100 feet long.
It's nuts.
That was the best production values they've had yet. The way they did the videos, like, each time someone went up when a match started, they had the names of each person, and then they had, like, a rotating character underneath their name, and then when
really?
They picked that, yeah, it was really amazing. It was like it was like a rotating character from the game they were playing, and when they chose their character, someone in the tech booth, like, made it stop on that character so you could see who was playing what.
It's
nice.
Yeah,
it was nice. And then it was much better than last year, which I thought was pretty good too.
Mm-hmm.
It very good production values made it even easier to watch as a spectator sport.
Nice.
But the comebacks this year, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Did you see that Marvel comeback?
Yes. That's nuts.
I couldn't believe it when Akuma busted that out, and then Justin goes on to win it, and all anybody can talk about now is he rolled around on the ground.
Yes, I've seen GIFs of that.
Yeah, those GIFs were up within minutes, and yes. Justin was like, yeah, I'm the world champion, but I wish I hadn't done a barrel roll. Now Reddit Kappa has tech against me.
Nice.
Speaking of, you know, one of the stories that wasn't at EVO but was related to EVO is 4 to 5 members of Empire Arcadia just quit. And basically, Triforce himself had a fun little meltdown, and no one is his friend. And basically, this is probably the end of Empire Arcadia, and he's going to go back to doing live streams from the New York Public Library.
Oh, wow.
And showing his penis to underage girls again.
Wow.
Let me put it this way. Triforce is the Fred Phelps of the fighting game community, and Empire Arcadia is the Westboro Baptist Church.
Oh, my gosh. That's nuts.
Mewtwo King, the popular Smash player, has already said he wants to leave, but he won't until his friend's contract with them is also up.
Hmm.
Also, they've already breached his contract by not paying him, so Mewtwo King can leave whenever he wants.
Gosh, that's nuts.
Yeah, sponsors, man. Yeah,
sponsorships, that's insane that shit's kind of happening. But hey, you know what? If you can kind of, you know, see from the sidelines, like, which ones are going to stand around, which ones won't.
Yeah, when you're screaming that you only hire black people because they have more loyalty.
Oof. Harsh.
Yeah, it doesn't make anybody look good.
No, not at all. Yeah, so, I mean...
Blaze Blue, you know, what it really comes down to is you need to have a hype finals if you want your game to grow at EVO. I mean, did you know that they're starting last year? They don't have the finals on one day.
Yeah, they've split it to 2 days. I remember that.
3 days, actually. Tekken finals were on the first day.
Oh, my God. Really? Wow.
Yeah. Well, Tekken had the lowest number of entrants. Injustice had their finals on Saturday, and right after that's when they did the Raiden. They also had King of Fighters finals on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So basically, that means those games, I don't want to say they're invisible, but it sure as hell doesn't help.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, so Blaze Blue was up at 9 a.m. in the morning, so they got the first spot, which is not the best spot, but they really made the most of it. Very, very exciting finals with over $30,000 on the line.
Mm-hmm.
The winner was crying.
Of course.
It was awesome because he had come a long way from Japan. He had won a lot of money, and he couldn't hold back the tears.
Mm-hmm.
Then Killer Instinct happened, CD Jr. won, and he couldn't stop crying.
Yeah.
And then Mango won. Defended his title for Super Smash Brothers. Mm-hmm. He did not cry.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure Justin Wong cried, but that's okay because he's, you know, the world champion again. So, yeah, I don't care. Do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting thing. I told you Reggie showed up, right?
By a telecast.
Via video. It was the same place where he's filming his Nintendo Directs. And he says, "Hi, Evo. Reggie here." Whole crowd just fucking loses it.
Nice.
They're like, "Who is Reggie? He's talking to us," which is great. Because remember, last year they almost got it canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's addressing them and acknowledging them.
And it's also a sponsor of Evo.
They were a financial sponsor of Evo, and they did take the time to plug the new Smash Brothers. And by the way, there were a lot of groans and a lot of worried glances because a lot of people are saying the new Smash won't be competitive.
Really?
They say it's too slow.
Oh my gosh.
We'll only see, but you know, there's going to be, you know, people are going to get more people get their hands on it, and we'll know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They did announce more characters for that.
Right. A couple of Fire Emblem characters.
And they did confirm Captain Falcon.
Yes.
So basically, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was, you know, he's like, "And you're going to be able to play." And he did it in his voice where he talks slowly like he's reading PR, but he's not talking slowly enough that you totally know he's reading PR. He's basically doing a Reggie.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he says, "You know, and if we ever were to meet up and play in person, just remember one thing. No Johns." Whole crowd loses it.
Wow.
Whole crowd loses it. And I didn't understand the reference, but No Johns is a very old Smash meme. That means, like, no excuses. Like, "Oh, you know, blah, blah, this, my controller, that." That's like you having a John.
Wow.
So basically, he popped the crowd with that one. It was pretty funny.
That's nice. Yeah. I mean, I think the most surprising thing out of the entire tournament for me was when you basically said, "By the way, Daigo and Infiltration are out." I'm like, what?
Daigo defeated his old rival from almost 20 years ago, Alex Valle. In fact, that match is so old. You know there's a manga about Daigo?
Yeah.
You know that Alex Valle is in it?
Mm-hmm. Nuts.
I know, but like, so they had their match, and it was Daigo who won. And then of all people to knock out Daigo, perennial old man John Choi defeated Daigo.
Wow. What?
John Choi was kind of an old man in 2001 during the Bang the Machine. So John Choi is supreme old man status.
Mm-hmm.
Reminded me, Mike Watson from Super Arcade, who was there, also has old man status. He even brought a very old Tips and Tricks magazine
that he
helped write. And that was back in 95, which is now a collector's item. So he had a few to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And did you see any of the Smash finals?
No, I did not.
I wanted it to be apathetic for Smash, but some of the shit that Pikachu was doing was goddamn mind-boggling. Like, basically, multiple almost sacrificed plays to down smash the opponent through the floor. It was like, I can't believe this man is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And it popped the crowd. You know what? I got hyped for Smash.
Yeah.
Only took him 13 years to get that far, and a lot of people don't know that the Smash community was blackballed for a few years after 2008.
Mm-hmm.
With their bad attitude, and they turned it around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why that person got the Lifetime Achievement Award. It was he helped turn that community around.
That's great. Yeah. My whole thing was that, I mean, the only two finals that I caught was UMVC3, which, of course, you know, we know who won there. And then the most surprising thing to me was Ultra, like, fucking Rose dominated that whole fucking thing. I wouldn't have guessed in a million years that Rose would actually get to the fucking finals and actually dominate.
Rose did not get any significant buffs in Ultra, but she's always been a solid character. Like, basically, you notice the one move that was being used was the Soul Spiral.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that move is just solid. It's like, here, this is a move that's pretty safe. It's a nice, solid, you know, close down or rush down maneuver. It's good. It's a simple, you know, the basics work.
Yeah. And is it true that it's the first time, like, that a female character has actually been used to win, like, a Street Fighter tournament?
At Evo.
Okay. And it's also the first time that Europe's ever won anything, right? Like,
No. Reinhardt's won majors before, but this is the first time Europe's won an Evo.
I see. Crazy. So it's a lot of firsts.
Yep. I thought we would see at least one of the five new characters in the top eight, but we did not.
Yeah.
I think we will, but I mean, I was hoping for that because it makes it more exciting for the people watching. I think when the retail version of Ultra comes out and tournaments start using that, one of the nice things is that includes every costume on disc, so people actually get to see a little variety.
Mm-hmm. I will. Yeah, you know, I'll be honest. I'll probably get that version because, I mean, it's probably the last version of Street Fighter, probably, right?
Yes. Right? Okay. If you don't already have, do you have Super or Arcade Edition?
I have it for 360, so I need it. I need the actual physical version that has everything.
So if you want to wait for the physical disc for PS3, that'll be out in August. That'll be $39.99.
Mm-hmm. That's the idea.
But, I mean, I actually already have all the costumes on every platform, mainly because I bought them for the 360 back in the old days. And for the PS3, I bought the Mega Collector's Box that came out, which includes every Street Fighter game that's ever been released.
Nice.
For the platform.
Nuts.
And the entire two-season run of the Street Fighter animated series on Blu-ray.
Oh, wow.
Which is... you can watch it.
Okay.
I it doesn't hold up, man.
Yeah, I'm sure. Although it was pretty hype when I heard Indestructible again. I was like, oh my gosh!
The whole crowd lost their damn minds.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was fun. So that was a good Evo. Maybe want to play a lot of fighting games again, but now that the Evo season's over and Super Arcade is going under renovations for at least 3 weeks, I'm not going to any weeklies. Even though I've been invited to Alex Valle's house, I can't make it because I need to play Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a shame because that means Alex Valle thinks I'm good enough to play at his house.
Nice.
You know, I think, you know what it is? I teabagged him. He respects me now that I teabagged him. I swear to God.
Nice.
I swear upon my unborn child, who does not exist and never will, that that is the case.
Well, that's really cool, though. And, you know, hopefully I actually remember when Evo is next year that I'll actually be able to go, because that sounds
fun. It's the first or second week of July, but, you know, should we announce that we're going to something else in Vegas?
Really?
Should we do it?
Let's do it. I was like, wait, another Evo? No, I'm like, yes, totally. So I'm pretty excited about this because, like, I've been talking to Ted, like, you know, we've been planning this for a little bit, you know. I'm happy to announce that we're actually going to go to the Final Fantasy XIV Fan Festival in Las Vegas on October 17th to the 19th.
I've got the days off work, we've got the hotel booked, and the tickets purchased. It's time.
It's happening.
You did hear that they're going to get exclusive in-game rewards, right? It's like
BlizzCon.
No, they're going to give away some items that you can only... It'll be cosmetic items, obviously, but you can only get them at the Fan Fest. So.
Holy shit.
So maybe you want to eBay those if you want to get your ticket price back. Dude, don't joke. I remember, you remember Sydney, right?
Yeah, of course.
So she went to BlizzCon 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in there's this booth that was like blow all these pieces of paper around.
Yeah.
And you could grab one piece of paper and take it out with you.
Mm-hmm.
She got a spectral mount, a spectral tiger mount. You know how much she flipped that for?
What?
$1,000.
What? Okay, yeah, I think I'm going to do that. Fuck that shit. That's awesome.
How do you even spend $1,000? Okay, well, actually, how do you even spend $1,000? But I did buy a PS4 and a Xbox One within 30 days of each other. So.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, I'm really stoked because it's like I've never been to a con that is just dedicated to one thing.
I've told Rachel, who apparently is going to come with us but not go to the event. It's like, you do realize you have no interest in this, right? But like, I'm so hyped. I'm going to even say it right here on the air. If we get the chance to interview Yoshi P,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to sit there and go, you know, they say the press is supposed to be unbiased, but I do work for Gamer Horizon / Backlog Battle, and I just love your game. Mm-hmm. We love your game.
Yeah.
I don't even, like, fight it.
And as far as that goes, it's so good. I am working with Square Enix to make this happen. So, but the thing is, it's like the dude is so busy. Apparently, like, you know, they're trying to figure out time, if there is time for interviews.
Okay, you know what? Here's second choice for an interview would be the guy who designed the controller scheme. Wow. That guy is a miracle worker, and I would love to talk to him about design issues.
Yeah, because right now, what's going on is that what's probably going to happen is, you know, that's actually like a whole run of the next few weeks, because I want to say either Japan is happening first, then Vegas, then London, and it's a whole like section of a month that he's going to travel, and then he's going to go right back to actually work on probably, assumably, 2.5. So, I mean, the dude is working all the time, and I think he was actually in Paris just like about a week or so ago. Like, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing in Paris? Like, what kind of Final Fantasy 14 shit are you doing in Paris? That boggles my mind. And, you know, and even the PR person that we're working with, he's with him too. And I'm like, what? So what? And, you know, it just makes you think about, like, what kind of wheeling and dealing, like, he's doing and stuff, that he finds it's important enough for him to actually leave his development team in order to deal with, you know? But, I mean, as far as that front goes, I mean, I have nothing exciting to report, like, you know, for my game. I mean, I got to level 34 with Dragoon, so that's done. I don't have to deal with Dragoons forever.
Are you going to play for the free login weekend?
Probably not.
It's free!
Yes, your character's, you know, still weekends there. Are when I'm supposed to be driving around, you know?
Oh, okay.
Not even, like, late morning?
I don't know, man.
Early morning?
Can't make a promise.
Aw.
You know, I was surprised that Uber and Lyft don't operate in Vegas.
Oh, really?
It's on and off. I'm not sure if it's on or off right now, but they have to fight their battles one city at a time, so it'll happen eventually.
Interesting. Yeah, so, I mean, that's happening. I'm also leveling my carpentry. Ooh, exciting stuff. How are you leveling your shit, Ed? Because, like, right now, I'm doing the fieldcraft leaves, and then I'm doing, you know, I'm just kind of going down, like, the log, and then that's it. I'm like, is there anything more?
I would be doing those, but also I do my grand company missions to supply them, so I get also...
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, don't forget to try to get high quality with those, because you can get double the rewards. But that goes for the leaves as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I never really appreciated how fast you can make money in that game. Like, you know, I remember, like, just starting carpentry, and I went all the way down to, like, maybe, you know, I don't know, like 400 gil. And then within a day, I'm up to like 40,000 gil now, and I'm like, wow, it's nuts. Like, it's so easy to make money in this game. It's not even funny. But how about you? Like, you were telling me about, like, your experiences with Sunken Temple of Karn.
Sunken Temple of Karn is the first dungeon that requires you to not be an idiot. There are these mobs that are bees that can one-shot you. So you have to pay attention to them. But realistically, the thing that kills people is the first boss. The first boss casts doom on you. You have 10 seconds to get rid of it or you die. To get rid of it, you have to run over a glowing square.
Yeah.
The other mechanic is bees show up. That is the whole boss. But that will, I believe, and I firmly believe that this dungeon is designed to destroy pickup groups.
Wow.
Like on purpose.
Like, pay attention, by the way. Did you guys ever then get past the first boss?
Oh, yeah, I beat it. I got a group that actually knew the whole thing, and so we just blasted through it.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh, I thought you actually experienced that whole thing. Holy crap.
Oh, no, I experienced it multiple times. I'm not saying that I didn't get through it on the first try or the second try, you know, but you get there.
Yeah.
You know, someone's got to know the fight. And clearly, I knew I was good when I got a group that was all people synced from higher levels.
Nice. I wish there was, like, some sort of matchmaking that did that, but yeah, I mean, so far, still having fun, huh?
Yeah, definitely. I leveled, I got blacksmithing and armoring to 15, so I just did those quests, so, you know.
So what are you, know, like 35 or something?
I am 37.
37. Ooh, you are almost there, sir.
Yeah, but I've got Cutter's Cry that's about to become available to me.
Oh, nice. That's right, Cutter's Cry. I forgot about that. Oh man, yeah. I'm the next thing that I'm gonna level, I think, is Arcanist. I'm gonna get that all the way up to 50. I think I'm gonna try to do Summoner. Maybe I'm not sure. I heard that because Scholars are pretty much healing classes in this game as well. But there's apparently like a really distinct difference between White Mage and Scholars in that Scholars are a lot more damage mitigation and more proactive kind of healing than White Mages, which is more reactive healing and is a lot better like healing individual people. So I'm the tricky part though about the Summoner and the Arcanist and you know the Scholar by proxy is that when you do put your attribute points, obviously the attribute points will only benefit one of the two jobs that you get. You know, you can be either a either a summoner or a scholar from the Arcanist class. So it's like, you know, shit, like fuck. You have to basically commit at that point. Like, okay, do I want to be a healer really early on, or do I want to be like a DPS? Because you know, if you have like everything on like magic damage and shit, like you're not gonna do shit for healing. Like when you're a fucking scholar, so. I don't know. It's going to be a challenging class, but, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, I am excited about Vegas, because, I mean, that's just 3 fucking days of final. Dude, it's like, that Friday, they start at 6 p.m., and it goes all the way up until 11 p.m. on a fucking Sunday. That is
nuts.
Oh,
I didn't know it started at 6. That's okay.
You know what? I would much rather be there like a day before and not have to deal with the traffic incoming.
Oh yeah, Vegas traffic on Friday is nuts, so forget it.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm totally okay with just be like, you know, like we can go to that that pinball Hall of Fame place in the mornings like the following day.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You've been there, right?
No, never have. Always wanted to.
Oh, dude. Okay, yeah. That's definitely a place that we're going to go to. Because everything is... I want to say everything is like a quarter in that place.
Yeah, they have a lot of machines that I've always wanted to play. I don't know if you heard in pinball news, Adam's family has officially cleared all its licenses and they're going to do a Kickstarter for it.
Wow.
This is the holy grail of digital pinball, as Adam's family is the most successful pinball game of all time.
Wow. And it's coming to Pinball Arcade.
Yes, they have confirmed this.
Wow. Okay, yeah, I think it's time for me to start investing in Pinball
Arcade. This is going to be hopefully the last Kickstarter they do. I don't want them to do any others.
Okay.
It's a bad look.
Yeah, it is. So, but I'm pretty excited.
I mean, they've done 3 now.
Mm-hmm.
For each major license table, which was Twilight Zone, then Star Trek, and then Terminator.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't think they wanted to do Terminator, but their hands were tied because the license was getting transferred, and if they didn't get it, they were never going to.
Wow. That's insane.
Other news. Y'all sold your Wii U's.
I sold my Wii U.
Club Nintendo rewards, the premium and gold rewards are out, and I don't know if you've seen Club Nintendo lately. They only have like 6 physical rewards these days. It's really bad.
Really?
So my platinum reward is I can choose the major games were Game & Wario, NES Remix, Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D. They go as low as like one of the platinum rewards is like an $8 game. And then gold rewards are just like a virtual console game.
Wow.
So I actually did want Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D, but I'm not excited.
Mm.
But yeah, that's a $30 game that I got for free.
Yeah. Well. Better that you got it for free than, you know, on the pay for it. Although, you know, you probably don't mind.
And it's confirmed that Pinball FX2 is coming to Xbox One and will not have cross-buy for tables.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that you'll have to rebuy all your tables.
Wow, what?
Although they're actively trying to get Microsoft to fix that. Whereas on PlayStation 4, every table that you ever bought is now playable, except for Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2, which is stuck in licensing hell and... That table's not the best anyway, so whatever.
Yeah, speaking of, like, you know, really bad kind of exclusivity and licensing stuff, like, I saw the trailer for the new Fatal Frame. It looks good.
Yeah, for Wii U, right?
Yep. Never gonna get it, because, you know, of course, we never got Fatal Frame Zero either, which...
Nope.
I'm really bitter about that. I'm still really bitter about it, because it's one of those series that... You know, like, I always wanted to kind of see, you know, carry over to the subsequent generations. Gonna feel like, you know, it was just hitting its stride on the PS2, and now it's just completely, like, not here. It's like, we're never going to get it. Which sucks. So, all right. So, is there anything else that we're forgetting? I mean, obviously, like, right after this, you know, by the time this comes out, you know, we would have already, you know, had our live streams for Destiny.
Oh, I got a question for you. Have you already started? Because I was waiting till 8, the time of my stream time, mm-hmm. to actually start playing, because I just wanted to make sure I had everything downloaded, but I stopped right when it said pick a character. I'm like, all right, yeah. I'm going to stop here and we'll go back. Have you already started, or are you waiting till 8 p.m.?
I'm waiting till 8 p.m.
So am I. And, you know, it'll be over by this time, but I'll have given away some beta keys, mm-hmm. for PlayStation 4.
Absolutely. I have four beta keys to get out for PS4.
I have three, but what I find interesting is you've also managed to get a hold of beta keys for PlayStation 3.
Yes.
I want to know what that looks like. So when you get around to that, I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. that game looks too good on PlayStation 4 to exist on, I mean, Xbox One can probably do it fine, but like Xbox 360 is a 10-year-old system.
Yeah.
You can!
That's probably going to be more problematic for the Xbox 360, to be honest, especially since, allegedly, there's so much more post-processing in the PS4 and Xbox One versions than, you know, like, the previous gen consoles, like the PS3 and the 360. But from what, you know, Anthony was telling me, that it still looked great, because, I mean, he has no, like, kind of comparative, you know, basis for this, because, I mean, he hasn't really looked at the game. But I can tell you from what I've seen from other people kind of playing it, there's definitely blurry textures. I mean, not entirely, right? Like, it's not going to be, like, Nintendo 64 quality. But you can tell that there are just certain details that are kind of missing. Like, for example, when you go to Old Russia, there's, like, these huge launch pads, and they have, like, these really kind of rusted up, like, you know, like, kind of shuttles that are in the distance. And on the PS4, you can actually make out a lot of the detail of the rust even from, like, the distance. Whereas on the PS3 version, from what I can tell, it's not as detailed, but, you know, you can see, like, they've attempted to capture a lot of that, the feel of the PS4 version, as much as they could. So it doesn't have crisper foliage, obviously, because of the nature of the platform. It's still 30 frames per second, so it's pretty solid. The detail isn't as good, of course, but, you know. Now, my question is, and I'm curious about this, is, like, I mean, which you know, platform is this going to sell most on? Because I feel like, you know, because it's coming out on PS3 and 360, we might see something similar with, like, you know, what happened with Titanfall. You know, it's like, why the fuck would I buy a PS4 and a, you know, Xbox One if I can just buy it for the PS3 and the 360, you know? So, I don't know. That's kind of like a question that, you know, we will see, like, much later in the year if the PS4 version actually happens. But I'll tell you this, though. The PS4 version, out of the two, the PS3 and the PS4 version, we had a lot more problems with the PS4 version getting that shit to work than the PS3 version. So that might be a hint of things to come. So,
well, I'm excited to start playing, but I guess right now the beta cap is 8, and I guess that's going to switch to a higher level once the Xbox One beta starts.
Is that actually confirmed?
Let me check. I'm on the internet right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, because when I found that out, I was like, really? And then, of course, you know, they show the moon, and I'm like, yeah, there's the moon, you know.
Come on, click the buttons.
Yeah, it's like last, you know, when they had the alpha, you know, they basically had, like, you know, the moon for the Crucible. You know, it didn't really, like, play on the moon for story. But then they had it now, and it's like, oh, nope, can't actually play that mission. And I'm like, that is dumb.
Actually, according to this, okay, it is not confirmed, but basically it seems logical that the cap will get raised. Because remember, the beta is going down for a few days, and when it comes back on, it will be available for the Xbox One. So we only get it for a few days before it goes down and then is open to everyone after that.
Okay.
So enough time to get to level 8, yeah. Basically.
Yeah, it's easy. Like, I managed to do that within, like, a couple of days. I mean, even mm-hmm. less than a day, so... Ari, you've been quiet this whole time. I mean, not excited about any of these?
I don't know. I mean, I played Destiny during the alpha, and it wasn't really enough to get me that excited about it. I was frankly more excited about it before I played it. But hopefully the beta will have a little more that interests me. So I'm looking forward to giving that a shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in terms of Evo, I mean, I'm not there.
You're not there.
Not my scene.
Aww.
But, so then again, every now and then I watch that video from all those years back where that dude parried like a million kicks from Chun-Li, and that was awesome. But yeah. That's as far as my interest in that whole scene goes. So
okay, yeah. Well,
that's why I've been quiet.
Okay, just want to make sure because you know we are having a conversation here. Not even Final Fantasy. Holy crap!
Yeah, gotta get there first. You know, I don't have it yet.
Well, you'll have it tomorrow, but you're not going to play it.
Yeah, I'm probably not.
Oh, I did not know this, Ted, but I guess this is totally something I missed. Back to Final Fantasy. I didn't know that they actually like released Lightning's gear, like her armor.
Yeah, she showed up early on when that game came out, version 2.0, and then that was a limited time event.
I was like, I didn't even know to what capacity, but I do see like other people like wearing Lightning's armor. I'm like, what the fuck? That's weird.
It was a quest chain where the goal was she wanted to get real fucking high. So you need to be a certain level. So you have to be a certain level botanist because you got to get the primo shit, and then you got to also be an alchemist so you can lace it with PCP.
Oh, geez.
And then you go back to her, and then you just get torn the fuck up. And then if you're a bard. While you're hanging out, you can start playing Turn Down for What, which is weird because that song didn't even exist when the quest chain was going, but I swear to God, you can play it.
Oh my God. If only.
Yeah. Yes, this is a long joke, but you got to give me credit. I kept that one going for a while.
You did.
Yes.
All right. Well, I am excited about Destiny, and I'm excited about Final Fantasy and doing more carpentry, so let's fucking end this episode right now. Remember, guys, be sure to subscribe to us at Backlog Barbecue on GamerHorizon.com and, of course, on iTunes.
Hopefully you're already following us on Twitch so you can find out when we're going to be doing our beta code giveaway, because by the time you're listening to this, it's already too late. But don't forget, if you subscribe now, will there be other giveaways?
Yeah.
So follow us on Twitch!
Yep, Twitch. So for Ted, it's twitch.tv/backlogbattle_Ted. For Ari, it is backlogbattle_Ari. For me, it is backlogbattle_Alex. And of course, Anthony's not here. Might as well plug him. It's backlogbattle_Anthony. He won't be streaming until like fucking September, I'm sure.
I've actually set up a schedule. You could actually expect to see me have themed shows throughout the week. But however, as long as we have Destiny, it's just going to be Destiny all day, every day.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have some themed shows like Battling the Backlog, where I play an actual game on my backlog to try to remove it from my backlog.
That's nuts. For me, like, you know, you can expect the usual Final Fantasy and definitely Destiny for like the next week, next couple weeks. I am really pumped, and I can't wait to actually get back into Destiny. This has been something that I've been clamoring for since the alpha, so this is something that's going to be really fucking awesome. Ari, did you want to plug anything, like, for your stream or whatever?
Play Go. It's awesome.
Play Go.
Yeah.
Play Go, my ego.
Yeah, and just to kind of remind people, I do have, like, a schedule myself, like, on my channel on Twitch. And, of course, subscribe to twitter.com/GamerHorizon so you won't miss all of our streams when we do post them. And, of course, facebook.com/GamerHorizon, which, yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff happening. So be sure to subscribe to as many as possible. So until next week, guys, we'll see you guys later.
Please fix Killer Instinct if you're listening, Iron Galaxy. That game is so broken.